Blog Talk Radio.
Joined by my special guest co-host today, Leva Bates. How are you doing today, Leva?
I'm pretty good. I just got off of my Twitch stream to come and say hi.
Awesome. And I think you're kind of like a trendsetter because I've noticed a lot of other women wrestlers have been doing Twitch streams since you started.
Oh, really? That's awesome. Yeah, I kind of got into it a little bit ago. I was actually turned on to it by an actor named Sam Witwer. I don't know if you guys know who he is. He was the vampire on Being Human on Sci-Fi. He was also Doomsday in Smallville. He does a lot of voice acting for Star Wars stuff, I think like Clone Wars and all of that. And he was the main character in Star Wars Force Unleashed. Super uber nerd, but super uber cute. So I found out he had a Twitch because of Twitter. And one day while I was sewing, I was actually sewing a costume, I clicked on his link, and I was like, what is his Twitch thing? This is a while ago, probably last summer, over like a year or so ago.
Okay.
And while I was sewing, I was watching him, you know, talk to people, play on Twitch and stuff, and I just thought it was really, really cool. So I'm like, well, if I enjoy this, I wonder if people would enjoy watching me play because I'm going to play anyway, so I might as well just do it. So because of him, I actually was like, that's a good idea. So I ended up doing one of my own.
Cool. And I've like I mentioned earlier, I've seen a few of them, and I do notice that you do get quite a lot of traffic while you're playing. So it seems like the Twitch, because I never heard of it till you posted about it. It seems like it's a pretty popular thing.
Yeah, I think it's picking up steam, actually. It's picking up, I think, in popularity because people love video games. So, and people, it's a good way of connecting with people because you don't have to necessarily know what the game's about. You could kind of them talking, and a lot of times when I play, people are like helping me solve clues and riddles and stuff. It's a lot of fun. It's like you play as a group as opposed to sometimes just sitting at home by yourself. It's a good way of, like, connecting with pretty much the world. And it's also a good way of actually, like, if it's a game where you're not really thinking a lot, you can just answer questions and talk to people, too. So I've done that as well.
Yeah, it seems like a really cool thing. And, I wanted to have you on the show tonight mainly to talk about, since there's been a lot of superhero movies that have been coming out, and I've always enjoyed talking superhero movies with you. Even though it was limited on the other interviews we did, which was mostly about wrestling. But since this is a wrestling podcast, I should ask a couple wrestling-related questions before we get started. And the first one is, how is your health? You were injured a few weeks ago, and how is that progressing? And is there a return anytime soon?
It's pretty So if you don't know, I actually got a broken ankle in April wrestling. It's no surgery was needed, thank God. It was broken in a really weird place, according to the doctor. I'm like, of course it is. Why wouldn't it be in a weird place? But he said because of the weird placement of it, I didn't need surgery. It didn't actually affect the tendons on the side. So, yeah, I have a broken ankle. I got a big old giant moon boot I've been living in for about a while now. I'm actually walking around on the moon boot. It's kind of the next progression from, you know, laying there, not going anywhere, then using crutches and actually putting the foot on the ground. And now I'm actually kind of walking around with it. I don't want to walk around, like, too much with it because it does get a little sore after a while, but like walking around the house or doing something like, you know, short distance or even grocery shopping, it's fine. But like when I went to MegaCon last week, I was like, all right, that's like 9 to 12 hours of being on my feet. I can't do that. So that's why I ended up getting a wheelchair. So the wheelchair, I know, scared people, but it was just, that was actually a more precautionary thing just because I didn't want to walk on my foot for 9 hours.
You don't want to mess up your progress.
So I ended up just getting the wheelchair and then just basing the cosplays around the wheelchair. But yeah, it's progressing pretty well. Last time I went to the doctor, which was the beginning of May, he said it's healing at a good speed. It's healing in the right direction, so it's not like healing wrong. I mean, again, that was like a month ago. I have another appointment soonish. And I'll find out, you know, more about that then. We don't really know when I'll be returning because I haven't even started rehab yet. So I don't really know when that will be or how much rehab I will need. I don't really know.
Considering you're a very active person, you know, you go to shows almost you're working shows almost every week, and you know you perform at Universal Studios. You're a very active person. How has the adjustment been to not being able to live your normal life for the last few weeks?
Oh man, it's not even just like shows, it's everything. I can't even like go and work at Universal. So doing my dance shows, I can't dance or do stunts or wrestle. So it was a complete shock to the system. I went through a couple different emotions. Like honestly, you're scared, you're terrified, you don't know, you know, you have no idea what to expect. You don't know, like, You're terrified. Am I messing up my momentum? You know, will I be forgotten about? Will people even want to, you know, like, it's a lot of things that go through your head. Am I going to get to come back? You know, is this something that's going to be more damaging than I thought? You know, how much work will go back to me coming back? You know, so it's like, at first you go through a lot of fear and frustration. Like, why did this happen? You know, but then once you get past that, you're like, oh, wait, I've actually got to sleep and rest and be in my own home, and I've got to play video games. I played more video games this last month than I have probably in the last 3 or 4 years because I've been so busy. It's kind of nice to be like, oh, my God, like, this is what life is like when you're not going 24/7. So I've kind of gotten, like, past the batter stages, and now I'm like kind of the acceptance where it's like, you know what, I needed this rest. You know, I wish I could have got it under better circumstances because you're going to go through a lot of pain. I went through a lot of pain. Right now, I mean, it still aches, but it's not like pain like it was where I couldn't sleep for like, there was like a week where I just couldn't find a comfortable way of sleeping at all. Like I just didn't sleep, period.
Wow.
But it gets better. Like, that's what I tell everyone who's going through something like this, because I actually have a lot of friends who are kind of going through various breakages. Like, it gets better, trust me. But, yeah, now I'm kind of getting to that point of, like, all right, well, it's coming soon. I'm hopefully returning soon, so now I'm planning. And then I'm getting other gigs. Like, I'm getting other bookings where it's like, all right, cool, I'll do a signing, I'll do a con booking. Ooh, I'll get, you know, they want to hire me at this con to, like, be the liaison for the guests. Cool, I'll do that. You know, so like I'm starting to get future bookings that's kind of less physically active, but more like, hey, what's up, guys? So it's making me think a little bit more outside the box of, like, how can I sustain a living by not using my feet, since everything I did was using my feet. So it's kind of cool. Like, I mean, finding ways of thinking outside the box. And I'm also, like, prepping and planning for my eventual return. You know, there's still a lot of questions I have. I'm not sure exactly the return date yet. Hopefully I'll know next week a little bit more about that. Woo-hoo, keeping fingers crossed. But yeah, I'm planning, like, all right, cool, when I get back, you know, I wanna do this. And when I get back in the ring, I'm going to start training and maybe changing up my style a little bit, changing this up a little bit. Because you sit there, you have a lot of time to think and analyze and, like, think about things. So I'm getting kind of excited because I want to start trying new things, and you get kind of a new sense of motivation, you know, where you want to get back to where you were, but you want to get better. You want to go past where you were. So it's, again, an emotional roller coaster. It's not a bad emotional roller coaster, but there's a lot of emotions. It's like every spectrum of emotion you hit when you are severely put out of business because of an injury for a while. So, but yeah, I'm getting a little pumped. I have, like, ideas twirling around in my head. So hopefully they'll come to fruition.
Cool. And I kind of know the feeling about being able to recharge, because for my main job, I get like 4 weeks vacation and I take them all in a row. So in 5 weeks, I'm going to have 4 weeks off to just rest and recharge my body. And it's a good thing. I've been doing it for a few years. So it is good on the body, and it is good to get sleep, because I know that you're so busy that sometimes it's hard to get to sleep when you're on the road. And so,
oh, yeah. There's been several times where I've gone from one show straight to the airport, get there at like 3 or 4 in the morning, get on a plane, fly somewhere, and then go to wherever we need to go. If I'm lucky, I'll be able to get a nap before the booking the next day, maybe. You know, so it's like, there were several weekends when that happened, where you're just bouncing from one show to the next and, like, maybe a couple hours of sleep, you know. And that's how all of us do that. It's not just me. Like, there's so many you know, my friends and colleagues, they all go through the same thing. We all do that. It's just the nature of the business. So it can get intense. So if you don't give yourself proper downtime, it will drain you quickly. And I think that led to my injury. So I was just burning the candle at both ends. And my health, I wasn't taking care of myself. Like, I tried, like, I worked out, but I wasn't getting enough sleep. I was just always on E, and it was just too much. And I think my body was just like, you're done. Snap. No.
Yeah, I mean, I could kind of see that, because, like, you know, you spent the entire month before the injury, an entire month in Europe working. It seemed like you were working almost every night or every other night, traveling back and forth. And then you come back to the States, and right away you're going to WrestleMania, and I think you worked 3 shows in 3 days, plus, you know, all the other things. I mean, you were putting the grind on your body there for a while. But
Then on top of that, I was working my full-time contract at, you know, doing dancing, and I was doing a lot of stunts, and that stunt show I do is super, super high energy and high impact, because I'm like parkouring off of rocks and sword fighting and running nonstop through the show, because my character is like a chicken with her head cut off, because she just runs all over the place. But it's just like I'm doing those, and I was actually picking up more of those shows than I was dancing, and it felt like that was more of a physical toll on me, because it's just so high impact, honestly. So I was doing that, like, I literally had no days off, period. Like, there were no days off when I got home from England. There's none. I was coming straight from work straight to wherever bookings I had. Like, I know when I landed, I think I had, like, a day to prep, not even a day to prep, and then I had to go and do TNA, the one night only. So, like, that's pretty much got off the plane from Europe. I got immediately ready. Like, I still hadn't even adjusted, like, to the jet lag. But the jet lag came in my favor because we – such early mornings, because the day after that, I think that's when I went somewhere. Maybe it was New Jersey for a booking. So I had to keep getting up at, like, 4 in the morning, which felt like 9. a.m. because England's about 5 to 6 hours ahead, give or take. So I was like, oh, I felt normal getting up at 4 a.m. It totally worked in my favor, actually. So I was like, hey, jet lag's awesome right now.
That's cool. Now, speaking of that TNA match, I really loved the match you had with Mia Yim. I thought that was great. I thought you guys stole the show. Allison Kay and Gail Kim was really, really good too, but I thought you guys stole the show.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
The only thing that kind of bad is, unfortunately, that show got a lot of press, and it wasn't for the two good matches. It was for another match that wasn't quite so good. But we won't talk about that. But one thing I wanted to talk about, you did this a while back, but I guess they're just coming out now, and you're doing you're the interviewer in a series of interviews with different women wrestlers, and the first one with Mia Yim came out, and I did watch that one, and I highly, highly enjoyed it, because it wasn't just an interview, it was more just like listening to two friends just talk and stuff, so I thought that was fantastic. But I wanted to ask you is, Mia brought up your foot or your ankle kind of bothering you, and was your injury a progressive thing, or did it just happen at that one show, at the FIP show?
I think I had twisted it in England, but it wasn't anything like severe. I think it was just one of those, I twisted it, it was fine, and then again, like a month and a half later, I broke it. So it's probably never fully healed, and that's probably, again, there's a lot of factors that led to the breakage, honestly, like just pure exhaustion. Again, that's part of the exhaustion, being that healed, like letting myself heal. But it is, like, if it's something that's not dire, you just work on it. Everyone does that. You're like, oh, okay, well, you know, I kind of just sprayed it slightly. It's fine. Like, I'm putting pressure on it. I can move it. It's fine. I was still working on it, too. Like, I was dancing and, like I said, doing parkour off the rocks and stuff. It wasn't like anything that was too bad. Like, when I first did it, it was a little tender. But, yeah, it probably did lead to it because I think it was the same ankle. Or maybe it wasn't. I don't remember. Honestly, I don't even remember which ankle it was. Because if it wasn't, I'd probably put too much weight on the other one. And if it is the same ankle, it was just, again, too stressed out and just snapped.
Yeah. Now, speaking of those interviews and the one with Mia, how did you enjoy being the interviewer instead of the interviewee for a change? And how did you feel all the different interviews? I think you did maybe 3 or 4. How do you feel they all went? And just your overall opinion on that project.
I think they went pretty well. I did do 4. 2 of them have been released. It was Mia Yim and Kennedy Brink. And then the next 2 that will come out will be Santana Garrett and Kimberly. They all went really well. They all have different flavors because it's based around their personality. What I wanted to do, I wanted to bring something fun and fresh. And like exactly what you said, it was like two friends talking. That's kind of how and what we were aiming for. Just like have another fellow wrestler who's friends with all these girls and just have her talk. And, you know, it's still in like honestly interview format, but it's also more relaxed. And it's just like we will, you know, sit around and talk about wrestling, but we'll also talk about stupid shit. And, like, you know, just make fun of each other or talk about what we hate and what we love, you know. So it's just kind of, each one is completely different. Like, whereas Mia Yim, I went off for, like, 10 minutes about how much she hates Batman versus Superman. Like, Kennedy Brink and I sat and talked about, like, I think Cracker Barrel for, like, a chunk of time. It's just, you never know which direction an interview is going to go. And it was fun. I like actually being on that side of it because doing Geek Soapbox and getting to do, like, other, you know, hosting and like, public speaking type things and doing my own show, it was cool and it was fun. I've done stuff similar to that before, so I enjoyed it a lot. And plus, it's nice to hear. I enjoy hearing other people's stories, so I like that. So maybe if I can just give people a push in the right direction as an interviewer, that'd be awesome. You know?
Yeah.
Sorry. And that's pretty much what it is. We wanted to try something a little fun. So like when we, I really love the fact that the KFA commentary guys came up with the whole Mangaliva. And it's like whenever there's something that people may not get, it pops up and she explains it to them. I think that's so cute. And I love that idea because it's different. And it kind of fits me. If we talk about, like, I think it was like Deadpool Core. That was the screenshot they sent me.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, it was kind of like watching the pop-up, the VH1 pop-up videos from back in the day.
Oh, yes. I love those. Those are great.
Yeah. And I love the one with Mia because since you know Mia so well and she's so, you know, free to talk to you, that she got fired up so many times in that video and made it more with her passion, just made it such an interesting listen to. I mean, I thought it was great. I'm actually really excited to see the Santana Garrett one coming up, because I remember seeing a Joey Ryan show, and Joey was asking a bunch of different women wrestlers about their favorite superheroes, and Santana Garrett was like, that's not her world. She said that she'll hear you and Solo talking about superheroes, and she just doesn't get it. But at the same time, all of her outfits the last past half year have been superhero-oriented, like Superman, Batman, and so many others. So I'm very curious to hear the one with Santana.
Oh, yeah, she knows. I don't remember what happened in the interview, but I always tease her about, like, yeah, you have no idea what I'm talking about, huh? No. She likes the way they look. She doesn't know anything about them. So I'm like, how do you not know about this? Do I like Batman? I'm like, do you really like Batman, or are you just saying like Batman? I'm going to give her crap about it. No, she's sweet, though. Like, it's a lot of fun. It's kind of weird and crazy for, like, some of us. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just an uber nerd, and I can't wrap my brain around people not liking nerdy stuff. But, like, I'll talk to, like, Mia or Santana. Actually, I talked to both of them. And we were in the car, and I said something, and they literally gave me this, like, blank stare. And they went, blink, blink. And they had no clue what I was talking about. But for me, it was something super basic. It wasn't, like, I went crazy about, like, super niche thing. I might have talked about, like, the Avenger movies or something. I don't even remember, but something that was pretty, like, well known and out there. And they were like, blink, blink. And I'm like, oh, face palm. They also didn't know Chris Farley, Saturday Night Live skits, because I told them initially my interview was going to be the Chris Farley type interview, when he would be like, I don't know if I remember the skit. The one that I remember the best was Paul McCartney. Like,
yeah, the Paul McCartney one, yeah.
Yeah. You were like in the Beatles? Yeah, I do. That's cool.
That would have been.
Gonna do that. And they literally looked at me like, blink, 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 blink. And I'm like, what? And then I'm like, all right, at least I'm not going to go Matt Foley on you. And then they were like, who is Matt Foley? I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, because you're not living in a van down by the river. And they're like, we don't get that. I'm like, what? Do you guys not know Chris Farley? Do you even know who Chris Farley is? And they're like, blink, blink. And I'm like, oh, God, you guys hurt my heart sometimes.
It's so great that it's a video interview and not just like a podcast interview, because you do get to see Mia just give you the most confused looks throughout this interview. It's fantastic. I really enjoyed it. But we'll go ahead and switch over to the main topic, since there have been so many superhero movies come out. And the last one that came out was X-Men Apocalypse. I know you saw that, and I saw it the first day. And the first thing I'll start with is the last time you were on, we were talking about X3, and you were kind of going off about the things that pissed you off about X3. And I kind of mentioned that I didn't mind how they did the Phoenix power, and I kind of mentioned how, yeah, they probably couldn't do the bird, and you were like real animate about why couldn't they do the bird, why not? And they went and did it on this X-Men, and I thought it was just a beautiful scene and everything.
Ed,
and I gotta
say spoilers first, because you just totally, like, for whoever is listening and haven't seen, because the movie just came out, so you have to be like, all right, so if you haven't seen X3 or the new X-Men Apocalypse, tune out.
I actually had made a note. I actually made a note to say that, and I just totally forgot.
It's okay. We're good now.
Okay, well, there will be spoilers throughout the rest of the show for this Civil War and Superman Batman if you haven't seen those.
At this point, I think most people have seen the other two, so you're fine. Yeah. But yeah, then I was like, just spoiler. But I'm very sure I read an article about the fact I talked about Jean Grey and using her powers. So, yeah, they actually did it right. That's what it could have been. That's what it should have been. That's what it should have looked like. But even more so. Bigger.
Yeah.
Phoenix is bigger.
What did you think of this X-Men movie as a whole? I don't think it was as good as Days of Futures Past, and maybe not even as good as 2, but I highly enjoyed it. What was your opinion on the movie as a whole and of the casting of the newer X-Men?
I actually really liked it a lot. I liked the fact that it kind of fixed a lot of problems that people had with the other, not necessarily X-Men movies, but movies in the X-Men genre, because a lot of people complain about Wolverine Origins, and a lot of people, I mean, obviously they didn't completely fix everything with that, but it kind of like, it's almost like a reset button, because of Days of Future Past. Necessarily the first three original X-Men movies don't necessarily have to exist now, and I'm okay with that, because, you know, it's different multiple, you know, timelines and multiple universes, so I'm totally okay with that. I thought they did a really great job. I thought everything was really well done. I think it didn't get as well of as good of reviews as it could have or should have, just because it followed too closely the Civil War. I think that's what hurt it the most.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Everything they did, it was fun. It was, you know, introduced, had a good introduction of new characters, but still brought in like some of our favorites. I enjoyed it a lot, and it didn't really have too much prologue, you know, because I mean, it did. You had to have a lot of the Apocalypse prologue, obviously, but then, you know, like Xavier's school's up and running, you know, like you didn't have to have too much of setup for that, you know, and I really enjoyed that. And I enjoyed that they brought back Havoc and they brought back a few of the other characters. I enjoyed that a lot. The thing is, though, for me, I was so busy at the school trying to figure out, like, ooh, this kid in the background, who are you supposed to be? I want to go watch it again just so I can see if I can figure out if anyone in the background is supposed to be someone else. So I was like, ooh. So I was really excited about that. I enjoyed it a lot, actually. I thought it was, it really, like, was heart-wrenching at times, and it was action-packed, it was fun. I liked it. You know, again, it's, if I had to compare the three, I would put them in order, it'd probably be number two of the season, compared to, like, out of the three. I would definitely rank it up there, definitely.
Yeah.
Number two for me.
What did you think of the casting of Jean Grey? Because I'll be honest, for the first two-thirds of the movie, I was seeing Sansa Stark playing Jean Grey. But then when that big scene at the end came, then she became Jean Grey to me and just blew me away with that. But what did you think of the casting? Because at first it was like, it was kind of, because she's Sansa Stark to me, so it was kind of hard to adjust but until the big scene, and then it was like perfect.
I liked her. I don't think she really felt like, I mean, obviously it's the same actor, so it's going to be a lot of the same things, but I don't really think, I didn't really feel like she was Sansa very much to me. Like, I thought she did really well. I enjoyed it. At first, her accent threw me off for a second. I'm like, wait, she sounds weird. But that was just because you're so used to her the other way. I literally just saw her the other day watching Game of Thrones. So, I thought she did great. And, like, a lot of people were, at least a lot of my friends that they really liked, I don't know the actor's name, the guy who played Scott Summers, because most people are like, oh, Scott's always such a douche, but in this movie, the kid wasn't such a douche. I'm like, he's not always a douche. It's just how he's written.
Yeah.
But it's not his fault. Mm-hmm. But anyway,
I do have one question, maybe you know the answer. The angel in this movie, was it Warren or was it just a different guy with wings?
I want to say it was Warren. Did they ever call him by name?
They never did.
I gotta think about it. I want to say it was, because he does angel and archangel, so maybe that's what he was?
I was kind of confused. I was just like, it's because it's like, you know, the transformation to Archangel and everything, but they never said Warren. He never really did anything characteristically to the Warren in the comic book. So it was kind of,
I mean, they gave him the blonde curly hair that kind of gave him that cherubby look, which is very much kind of how Warren is. So I assumed it was Warren. Did they ever call him by name?
No, they never did. It was just I think Apocalypse called him Angel one time, and that's the only time they like referred to him by a name.
I know in X-Force, or the Uncanny X-Force, I get them all confused. But I know in X-Force he was in that storyline with Apocalypse, which was an amazing book if you guys ever get a chance to read it. Oh, that's a good. You know what? They never call him by name. I just went to IMDb, and he's just under Angel. It doesn't say Warren, so you don't know. Even IMDb doesn't know.
Maybe they're just leaving it open to if they go back and make other X-Men movies that are after that one where they can slip in Warren Washington. And then it's just
yeah.
a mutant with a similar power.
I feel like it was him because that's what happens. Like he had the real wings and then he gets the metal ones from Apocalypse. So that's exactly his storyline and what happens to him, you know, in the comics at least. You know, not exactly but verbatim, but like he gets the metal wings. So I assumed he was because they had the guy look like him. So I don't know, but that's just me. I guess that they left it open, like you said, for interpretation.
And the one only really nitpick that I have, and it's a real minor nitpick, is because I had saw like some casting photos or like costume photos of Jubilee. So I thought she was going to have a much bigger part in the movie than she did. But she looked exactly like that. You think she would look in the movies, but you know, I mean, it's not like it ruined the movie in any way. I just kind of assumed, I guess, from the pictures that she was going to be a bigger part of the movie.
I didn't think so, but I mean, I was glad they brought her in there. I think it was a nice nod because she fits in with the 80s. So
yeah.
I'm gonna have X-Men take place in the 80s. I think she would fit perfectly 80s and early 90s. Again, for me, I'm a huge fan of the animated series, the X-Men animated. So I thought that was really cool. And I like how they still kind of made her a little bit more fleshed out, not a complete copy of the cartoon. So maybe she did. They filmed more stuff and just didn't make the cut. That happens a lot, too. Sometimes whole characters get completely cut out. So maybe she had a bigger role. I was actually surprised when they all went to the mall. She wasn't in the car going to the mall. She didn't go to the mall with them, did she?
Yeah, she did. She was. It was her, Scott, Jean, and Kurt.
Oh, well, I guess so. When everything happened, she just got knocked out. Okay, never mind.
And I love Nightcrawler. I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah, he was great. I loved him. He was so adorable.
Yeah. And, What I really liked about the movie is just everything with Professor X. I thought the guy who plays both of them. I mean Patrick Stewart, he's a genius. But the younger Charles Xavier, I thought he did such a great job when he kind of started to go bald during the transformation. I kind of had a tear in my eye just seeing him become the Professor X we all know with the bald head and stuff. I love the movie. I don't think it was a perfect movie, but since I'm such a big X-Men fan, I enjoyed everything, and I can't see why anyone really would have anything bad to say about the movie.
Yeah, I thought it was a cool transformation, because the thing is, you always see Professor Xavier as an old character and already bald and already in the wheelchair, so I like in these last three movies, you got to see his progression from like a normal ish guy, you know, with a full head of hair and walking on two legs, how he becomes, you know, the Charles Xavier we all know and love. So it's a cool little progression because you don't get to see that story very often, you know, maybe in comics, maybe like in like backstories or like standalone comics, but like here it's kind of cool to see it on the big screen. I'm glad they took that chance and went that direction with them.
And another scene that kind of got me teary-eyed was, you know, since Days of Future Past, everything was rewritten. So I loved how they threw in the scene. They redid the scene where, what do you do when they come to your school? You know, what do they do? What do you do when they come here looking for you and your students? And they redid that scene. I thought that was awesome. I thought that was like, hell yeah. Because that's such, because I have, you know, I have that issue somewhere on the comic book where they talk about that. It's like, that would just, but when they actually take scenes from the comic book, those are the things that really mark me out, you know.
Sorry, you cut out for a second.
I was just saying, like, how one of my favorite things is when they actually, like, say sentences or scenes from the actual comic book. Those are some of the things that really make me mark out.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of moments, I think, that were kind of like fan service for all of us who were big fans of either, like, the 90s comic or the cartoons.
Yeah.
My beginning comic book love came from the animated series. That's how I really got into Batman. I mean, I think I saw the movie before the cartoon because I snuck into Batman with the, you know, Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson, because I was waiting for my cousin, the movie hadn't gone out. So that's kind of my first introduction to Batman. But I think shortly after that, that's when the animated series came out. I don't know, after the first couple of movies. But the animated series came out, and that's how I got my introduction to Batman. And same thing with X-Men. I loved X-Men because of Saturday morning cartoons on Fox.
Yeah, that's the greatest cartoon ever made. Was that in it?
Yeah, the suit. So yeah. That's how, growing up in middle of nowhere Kentucky with no comic book stores, that's how I got my, you know, introduction to comic books and comic book characters, until I was finally able to get a little bit older and find out, like, oh, hey, comic books do exist, and I don't have to worry about just buying them at Walmart. I actually buy all sorts of different ones. So for me, it was a nice homage to that. But even if you're a fan of the comics, I mean, there's so many versions and stories of X-Men in the world. So I think they played a nice little round scope of it all.
Yeah. And speaking of the animated series, what is your favorite episode, if you have one?
I don't have one particular episode, though the Phoenix saga definitely sticks out in my mind. That's why I was so animated about it, you know. X3 being garbage because they turned her into Dark Willow instead of being this fucking fiery bird phoenix like she should be in space.
Yeah. My favorite episode was the one with Rogue and Apocalypse. That was I've always been a big Rogue mark. She's been like the love of my life since the first time I ever saw her. But we'll go ahead and move on to Civil War. What did you think of Civil War? I'm having a hard time deciding whether it was better than Winter Soldier or not, because to me, those are two of the top Marvel movies.
I don't understand why people go, well, I don't know if it was better or not. Well, as long as it's good, did you like it?
Yeah.
Then all that matters. Why does it have to be better than the other? You know, like, why compare? Like, it's part of the same, you know, storyline. It's a continuation of the exact same story. So I thought it was great. I loved it. I'm not comparing it to Winter Soldier, because guess what? I love Winter Soldier, and I love this one. I'm a big fan of having everyone there. Like, I felt like there was way more people involved in this. It felt more, not like an adventure movie, but more like a huge miniseries that you could, if they wanted to, branch off and, like, we had all the time in the world. You could branch off and follow, you know, the trip with Hawkeye saving, you know, Scarlet Witch, and, like, how do they, their travels to meet up with Steve and everyone. You know what I mean? Like, you could definitely break it down into smaller stories and do that. Obviously, they don't have the time, money, or need for it, but, like, that's how it felt to me. Like, it felt like Civil War. Like, when Civil War came out, you had Civil War, and then you had all these side titles, so if you wanted to read it, you could get the whole story just reading the main title. But if you wanted, you could get all these other side extra stories if you read, like, you know, Young Avengers, Runaways, Civil War, you know, Spider-Man, Civil War, you know. Like, there's so many side things, and they could have done that, and I felt like we got, like, a taste of a little bit of that stuff within it. So I thought that was really cool, actually. I enjoyed that a lot. I loved seeing Spider-Man That was really cool, especially because I was one of the first people that was like, oh, bring in Spider-Man. I'm just so Spider-Man out right now. Like, I was just like, I was the hipster that was so like, ugh. When they first announced that he was in it, and then I totally ate my words as soon as I saw him on screen. I was like, all right, I'm sorry. I'm an idiot. This is awesome. So I was wrong.
How did you like the
Man is awesome in it. Like, he, Paul Rudd makes me happy so much. Like, he's just so great. And but like everyone, like, I loved who they used. I thought it was just a really, really cool. I don't know, Marvel for me. I always say trust in Marvel, because so far almost everything they've done, I've completely loved. You know, so I loved Civil War. I saw it twice already. Saw it opening day here and on the IMAX, and then went again on the IMAX as well. So I'm going to see it on the small screen now just so I can see it. But this, it's awesome seeing it second time. I caught things I missed the first time. So I love it when I can do that in the movie where you watch something and you're like, oh, man, I missed it the first time. That's awesome.
And now you mentioned you love the casting. What was your opinion of, because they went a different way with May, Aunt May, because usually Aunt May is an older lady.
Is Aunt May young?
Yeah, and they went with a very attractive cougar on this one. And I thought Marissa Tomei, she was like the scene stealer in that scene. I mean, she just had so much presence. I was at first what's going on here? But it's awesome.
Have to be old, as long as she's, you know, it makes sense, because think about it, Peter's at like, what, early teenager years, so his mom, if his mom is still alive, she's probably, what, at least like mid-30s, maybe 40, so why would Aunt May be super old? You gotta think about that, like, May would actually be kind of young, because that she would be her sister, or you know, or maybe dad, sister, I don't remember their relationship, but she, you know what I mean? That would be, she's the same age as being a mom, because she would have been close to, you know, her siblings' age. So I thought that was actually super smart on their part. And it was a shock to us, because we always see May being kind of older at least. But, you know, like, think about it. Marissa Tomei's not super young. She's just super hot for her age.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely not, you know, grandma, but she wouldn't be grandma age, so I thought that was really smart, and I loved the natural chemistry that her and Robert Downey Jr. has, because they played lovers in other movies before, so that was like a little like nod, that was like Hollywood and Marvel going, get it, wink, wink, nudge, get it, they played like in a love interest in another movie, get it, now I'm like, we get it, it's awesome.
Now, speaking of love interest, they didn't, like, slap us over the head with it, but there's hints for, like, I guess, I don't know, maybe the casual fans wouldn't have caught on, but seeing the Vision have the hots for the Scarlet Witch, I thought was super cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that was for fans. For someone like me, one of my favorite storylines is Avengers Disassembled. And, you know, in that, Scarlet Witch and Vision are together, and they have children, you know, and I love that, because, like, I mean, it's crazy shit goes down in that series, but, like, for me, like, the hints and the fact that it wasn't getting, like I said, I didn't slap in the face with it, which I thought was great. I don't like it when you slap me in the face with someone. Like, I don't want these people to be together if you're forcing me to like them to be together. Yeah. A good example of that is Felicity and Ollie and Arrow. Like, I feel like they're forcing me to like this. If I want to like it, I will like it. But, you know, like, perfect example of subtle, not forced romance, I think, and just let the actors naturally do this, is Rose and the Doctor, especially David Tennant's version, and Billy Piper. Because I saw it, like, they never had the moment where they were, like, making out and, like, banging and stuff, but you can tell they loved each other so much. And it's just a tiny little moment. And then the speeches, you know, like, it wasn't in your face. And, like, those are better love stories, I think, than just trying to force it down our throat. So I loved it. I loved the, like, the little tendencies, the little small things. Like, he's trying to cook for her because he has, like, Lucien doesn't understand that he has funny feelings for this woman. You know, like, I just think it's kind of cool, but it's not like, oh, I love you. I love you. Ooh, you know, like, it's not forced. So
yeah.
I like that.
And hopefully it'll be a slow progression over the next few movies.
Well, the thing is, they don't have to go that direction. Like,
that
I think they gave us just enough of a tease, and, you know, it's okay, but they don't have to go that direction if they don't want to, because the world may not be ready to see a woman and, like, you know, a man that's not really a man, like, you know, an android or whatever, like, you know what I mean? They may be ready for that. They may not be ready for that. That's totally up to the discretion, and they can take that in either direction they want. But now the door has slightly been open, so that could be a possibility. They can keep exploring that, or they can not explore any relationship.
And the only thing that really disappointed me in the movie is it seems like everybody got to have a very similar takeoff on their comic book costume, except for the Scarlet Witch, and she has the most iconic, sexiest costume in the history of comic books. I guess some people could argue, me included, because I grew up on her. I was kind of disappointed on that, but I thought she would date, as far as the character in the movie. I thought she was good.
I don't know if this is me as a woman or if this is me as just, you will never see someone walking around in the daylight, you know, that's not at a Comic-Con, dressed up like comic book Scarlet Witch. She just wouldn't, like, a one-piece suit with, you know, thigh-high boots and a weird-ass, like, headpiece. That's not realistic. That's not smart for battle. You know what I mean? Like, that just, I think they just had to say, you know what, that doesn't make sense. This doesn't really make sense in the world that we live in, you know, and like for cosplay, sure, because that'd be great for wrestling. Her original outfit would be great. But, like, for the world of, like, I don't know, I think you got to remember, Disney now owns Marvel, and they're going to want to be the best role models they can, and they're going to put someone in a one-piece and have her run around. No, I'm not going to take away the fact that Psylocke was in one-piece running around, but that was also a different world, different style. It's just, I think Marvel's trying to root it a little bit more in contemporary, if that makes any sense, as opposed to, well, they're superheroes. Like, yeah, but she's also a normal-ass person that's been confined to her home, and now they just pulled her out and she has a jacket. You know, like, okay, cool. You know, I don't know. I actually really prefer it, but that's just me. I'm also one of those. I used to hate Scarlet Witch. The only version of Scarlet Witch I don't hate is the movie version, because
Oh, wow.
She is my least favorite character, one of my least favorite characters, because of everything she did in Marvel Universe, because of Avengers Assembled and House of M, and just, F you.
Well, the reason I kind of, you know, she was my first comic book crush, even before Rogue. and also, like, you mentioned, like, them not wanting to put her in, like, a one piece. I guess it's safe to assume that when they do release the Ms. Marvel, it's going to be the full body suit and not the suit from the 70s that was pretty revealing for the time period.
I have a feeling it's going to be something different completely. Maybe, or, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's what they do. Even though you're like, oh, everything's kind of close to the comics. Not really. I mean, I guess each version of it, he gets a little bit closer to how he used to be, but, like, Hawkeye's completely different.
Yeah,
you don't see
true.
Him
yeah.
with the big, you don't see him with the big, like, hawk-looking, like, pointy mask and shit. You know what I mean? Like, at least with MCU, you can totally, like, make it a little bit more contemporary. So, whatever they do, they'll probably make it less spandexy and more, whatever that material is that they use. That's great. So,
yeah, cool. And was there anything in Civil War that you would have changed or didn't like, or was it just perfect the way it was to you?
I'm not a big fan of saying I wish they had changed stuff, because they make movies way better than I can. So, you know what I mean? Like, I've never been really like, well, I would do this change, because who the hell am I? And why am I telling them how to change stuff? Trying to think. I liked it. I mean, I liked I like the way they ended it. I like the way, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't everyone all happy singing Kumbaya. You know, like, it was, I don't know. I enjoyed the directions they took. But again, I'm not one of those. Like, there's a few times, like, in a few movies where I'm like, no, this is completely wrong. X3 being, for example, like, what they did with Jean Grey and being, you know, Dark Willow instead of, you know, the Phoenix. Like, that, for me, I'm like, no, all right, I'll change that. But, like, for the most part, I kind of just go along with what Marvel chooses to do because we've, you know, they've done well so far at this point.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we had mentioned earlier when you were talking about your interview with Mia and her going on that rant about Superman, Batman, and I love that rant. I thought it was hilarious just because that she's so oblivious to, you know, what's going on and everything. What was your opinion of the movie? Because myself, I actually going into the movie because I'm more pro Marvel than DC. It's like I'm one of these people that has to pick a side for some reason, even though there's no reason to do that. So I kind of wanted to hate the movie, but I didn't hate it. I actually enjoyed it. I'm not going to say it's anywhere near the top of the superhero movies, but I did enjoy it. I enjoyed the final fight scene at the end. I thought Ben Affleck was great. I thought I was going to really hate Wonder Woman. I didn't think it was going to work, but I marked out in the whole theater I was in marked out when Wonder Woman made her appearance. And so what was your opinion of that movie, knowing that your best friend hated the movie?
Well, more than my best friend hated that movie. I don't know if you guys knew who David Puente is. He is a good buddy of mine, and for literally like a month before before I saw this movie, because that's when I was super busy and didn't have time to see anything, I kept hearing him just like, oh, I hate this movie. And then like I heard, you know, Mia go, oh, I hate this movie, and I'm like, okay. And then who else? There's someone else, another friend of mine who was like, I don't really like it, and I'm like, okay. So I'm hearing all this crap about it. So I came in with, like, probably the lowest expectations you could probably have for a movie. I was expecting Batman and Robin. So I'm like, here we go. Arnold Schwarzenegger is Mr. Freeze. Let's bring it on. Here we go. And it was better than I expected. Because I had literally the lowest expectations you could possibly have for a movie. And it was way better than that. I didn't love it. I liked it. I didn't love it, though. I, like, definitely out of the three, it's definitely in the bottom of the three this year. Like, it would be Civil War, X-Men, and then Batman and versus Superman. But my thing is, I just think they're trying too hard, too quick to throw everything. They're trying to compete with Marvel and make it this huge, giant universe. But Marvel took years to cultivate and do this right. And while Marvel was cultivating this universe, they knew they were going to keep. They were busy over there doing, like, Brandon Routh's Superman, and they were also doing Christopher Nolan's Batman. And then they're like, oh, well, let's reboot it and make it this whole huge super universe, but now you're trying to push it and compete with Marvel, but they've had years to cultivate it, and you're trying to jump into it in, like, one movie. So that's the problem with it. They just tried too hard, too much in one movie, and it was just too much.
Yeah,
and then I'm over the Zack Snyder, like, super saturated look. It didn't really fit for me, and this movie was like, I don't know, I didn't really like it. It was just, it tried too hard to be artsy on itself. You know, if you would have just gave us movies, and, like, I felt like it was super emo at times. Like, they're both like, oh, I don't trust this guy. I don't trust this guy. And it's just like, I don't know. I felt like they were more whiny and emo than they should have been.
Mm-hmm.
But on the plus side, it was, again, there was moments I really liked about it. Like, Ben Affleck was better than I expected him to be. He wasn't good. I mean, he wasn't bad. He wasn't, like, he was good. I enjoyed Ben Affleck.
I don't understand
I really liked them two together. I really, you know, like, I don't blame... what's his face? Brand is farted right now. Jesse Eisenberg for Lex Luthor. I feel like it was written wrong. They didn't write Lex Luthor correctly because he wasn't calculating. And you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't... like a rich man with some brains did this. It's more like I'm just my like maniacal. So I'm kind of like, yeah. There are moments I really like. I hated the dreams. I didn't like those at all. Like, if you took out the dreams, brighten it up just a little bit, and maybe cut out like a chunk of the movie, like the emo shit, I would have loved it. Like,
yeah,
literally,
yeah,
like,
I agree with
like
that.
The dreams were stupid. I didn't like them at all. I didn't like the bat, like the kid flying in the bats. I didn't like how the hell do you know all about Flash if you just read his file and you didn't know shit about this guy? How do you know about these creatures that don't exist? But like about the last 40 minutes, I think I really started. After the Martha section, I really dug it. I dug the scene where Batman saved Superman's mom. That scene was badass. Like, we're there fighting. He's busting in that, you know, the building and being a badass and kicking in with ass all Batman style. That's what the movie should have been. Can we just take out half of the bullshit and make that the movie? That would have been awesome.
Yeah,
and then, like you said, Wonder Woman. I enjoyed Gal all the way through the movie, but then as soon as she came down, and boom. Because I was not looking forward to Wonder Woman. I'm just, I don't know, maybe I'm weird. I'm just not the biggest Wonder Woman fan. It's not that I don't like it. I like her. I just think too much hype. Like, oh, Wonder Woman. So I'm like, all right, see this broad, see what she's got. And then when she did, she landed and that music's playing and like, it just was a really badass moment and she just totally kicked ass at the end. So there's moments I liked and I think it could have been a good movie if they would have just not had all the other bullshit. Like, took out an hour. Took an hour out of it. You don't need to be so artsy fartsy, take out the emo shit, take out the stupid dreams. And maybe switch the Ninja Turtle and actually make it, you know, character correctly, and then we'll talk.
Yeah, I think they try and complicate things so they think it'll be more entertaining when it actually sometimes will take away from it. And as far as, like, the Ben Affleck, I don't get the Ben Affleck hate from a lot of people because I don't think I've seen a Ben Affleck movie that I didn't like. And, I mean, I might be one of the few people, but Daredevil is one of my favorite superhero movies. Just because I thought he did such a great job portraying, you know, Matt Murdock. And he's not as good as the Netflix version, of course, because that's fucking one of the greatest damn TV shows I've ever fucking seen. And then Jessica Jones is even better. But, yeah, I don't get the Ben Affleck kid. I don't get that at all.
The thing I like about him, he's actually geeky. He's, so many actors. I think he might actually be the first actor, like, live actor. I'm not sure if Kevin Conroy is a nerd or not. I know he might be the first live actor to actually be a fan of Batman before playing Batman. Almost every other guy who's been Batman doesn't read comics, doesn't really care. Like, oh, cool, I get to be Batman. I'm going to be immortalized because I get to be Batman. That's cool. And maybe they've grown to love Batman. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, because I love Michael Keaton. I love, you know, I love Christian Bale. I love all those guys. Maybe not so much personally, but not his fault. It's heavy written and directed. But Ben Affleck was the first. Oh, sorry, we're almost done. He was the first one to actually be an actual geek. So, okay.
Don't worry, we can actually go. I'm going to wrap up the end up real soon, but we're actually going to go a little longer. It's just the live feed's going
to
kick off. But
I
just have a few more questions. Yeah. No, I got a few more questions, and then I'll let you get back to your Twitch. Regarding, I think we chatted about this one time, or I might have asked you regarding Ant-Man, and it took me a long time to go see Ant-Man because I just couldn't understand how they could skip the Hank Pym Ant-Man and go straight to the second Ant-Man, just because I grew up as a kid reading. I remember reading the issue where he kind of went heel. I think people kind of went a little overblown because he didn't intentionally smack the Wasp. It was kind of more of an accident. But I kind of was like, how are they going to do this? But then when I finally watched it, I actually loved it and the way they did it and kind of explained it. But what were your thoughts when it came out that it wasn't going to be Hank Pym Ant-Man, it was going to be the Stephen Long's Ant-Man?
I don't think I really had a reaction. I mean, because I'm reading comics. I know. Sorry, the lady keeps throwing me off. I apologize. I don't know if the people at home can hear that, but she
no, they don't.
At the times. Okay, that's throwing me off. I read a lot of comics with Hank Pym, whether he's like a teacher or actually being a superhero or whatever. I just think in the comic books, they've given him too many afflictions, and it's just. I can see them being like, well, let's play this safe and give it to Scott, as opposed to, I'm going to do this with Hank. And I actually like the fact that Hank is the mentor. So they still kept kind of true with it. And I didn't mind it at all, honestly. I liked it. Plus, that also brought in, you know, like, I think Paul Rudd would be better as Scott than he would have been as Hank. So I think it was perfect, because I think Paul Rudd is amazing in this movie. I just adore him anyway, but he's so good.
Yeah, I mean, like so. I had the reservations, but when I watched it, I thought it was perfect. I thought Paul Rudd was fantastic. I mean, he's one of my favorite Marvel characters. He's just so funny. And they did include, because I was also worried that they weren't going to have the Wasp. I'm like, how are you not going to have the Wasp? But they actually, you know, they had Janet. And then they're setting it up for a second Wasp, so on the next movie. So, you know, everything worked out. I mean, all my fears were, they were, like, subdued. And it just, I really went with it. So it's like, I'm kind of disappointed that I waited so long to see it because it was so damn good.
Yeah, just always, I tell myself, and watch this bite me in the ass, but it's a Marvel. But I was like that, and I saw it, I think, opening week or whatever, maybe even opening day, but like Guardians of the Galaxy, I was like, why are they, no one reads this book? Cause, I mean, at least when I worked at a comic book store, it's been a while, but no one read this book. Why is this a movie? And then I watched this movie and loved it. Freaking loved every second of it. So like, all right, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I doubted you. I am so sorry about that. So, you know, it's one of those, it's like, trust the Marvel, man. Like, just trust in them. They won't steer us wrong.
But what was weird with the Guardians with me is when I was, you know, back in, when I was a kid reading, it was a totally different team of Guardians. Like, Yondu was more of a member, and they had just different characters. I was like, I don't even know who these people are. How are they Guardians? And then I had to kind of look it up and see the progression that I missed when I wasn't reading the comic book. But, yeah, that's one of the best. That was a big surprise because that was the one that I'm thinking that if there's going to be one that's not good, it might be that one. But hell no, that was great. I thought Batista, when he did that one line about when they said that stuff goes over his head, and he's like, no, I'm too fast. I would catch it, or I forgot exactly how he said it. But he was just so incredible just being the straight guy in that movie.
Yeah, like, again, just trust the Marvel, man. They won't steer you wrong.
And then it led to one of the greatest wrestling entrances of all time when Mia Yim came out dressed as Drax the Destroyer and did the Batista machine gun entrance. And,
yeah, I was like, can you please do this? She was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm like, no, you won't. And then she did. I lost it. I'm like,
yeah.
No, you're Batista, right? Because
yeah.
she's terrible at remembering names or remembering anything. I made her actually see the movie. But we're going to do the costume. She had to at least see the movie and know what we're talking about. She's like, oh, okay. But then she ended up liking the movie because I told her, I'm like, Disney owns Marvel. It's like a Disney movie. You'll love it. And then she thought she actually did like it a lot. So I was like, ha-ha, I win. But she couldn't remember Drax at all, so she just kept calling herself, you know, Batista. I'm like, all right, well, if you're going to call yourself Batista, you have to do the Batista entrance. And she's like, I'm going to do it. I'm like, no, you're not. No, you're not. And then she did it. So.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Because usually you're the one goofing off and she's the one freaking out. And this time she was goofing off and you were the one that was like, oh, my God. Yeah, so that was great. One of my last questions is, we were talking about cartoons, and a few months ago I was looking for something to watch on Netflix, so I was kind of going through all the superhero stuff, and I came across Young Justice. Have you watched Young Justice?
I actually haven't. I'm a terrible nerd. I have not watched any of the newer animated series, but I'm hearing good stuff about it. I'm going to say my friends, Dave, actually was like, yeah, this is really good. Like, legit, check it out. I'm going to say with him.
someone I trust in comic books said that to me. I'm not really sure who said that. But yeah, I didn't mean to check out stuff. I just kind of ask. I'm just kind of catching up. I guess I'll have more time to catch up now, huh?
Yeah. When I started watching it, I was kind of even to myself, why did you pick this one? You hated the X-Men when they were the kids. What makes you think you're going to like kid Justice League? But it's only two seasons, and it's actually very, very good. I mean, I highly recommend it when you have a chance. The only thing that I didn't like about it is the younger Aquaman. His name is Aqualad, and I think that is the stupidest superhero name I've ever heard in my life.
I think there is an Aqualad, or maybe it's just based on Injustice. I don't know if I remember hearing about an Aqualad, but then again, that could also just been because of that show. So,
but I recommend that one, and also like I watched Arrow and The Flash mainly because I always see you posting about it, and I highly enjoyed those. So thank you for posting about those and getting me into Arrow and stuff. That stuff.
Oh my goodness! Well, if you like those, you should also watch Legends of Tomorrow, because I actually got my mom hooked on that show, and she doesn't watch any sort of superhero show. Period. But when she was staying with me after I broke my ankle and had my nose surgery, because I watched one night of, like, several episodes of NCIS, so, you know, what do you like to watch? Mom, I want to watch NCIS, so let's watch it. And so I watched it with her, and the next day I'm like, I want to watch my show. She said, okay, so she ended up watching, like, we, like, binged six episodes, and she totally got hooked into it. She was like, now what can I do, son? I'm like,
yeah,
you know, Mom.
I'm waiting for it to get
to Netflix. Look at her cable provider and tell her, like, it's channel, whatever. Oh, okay. Crack me
up. Yeah, like, when it hit Netflix, I'm definitely going to check it out. And then the last thing I'll ask you about before I let you go is, how are you enjoying this season of Games of Thrones?
I'm doing pretty good. I'll be honest. I think the internet killed it a lot for me. And four people. Oh man. Sorry, I am putting on my dishes and my Civil War. One of my Civil War cups paint came off. The other one's in good condition though, so that's good. yay, they get distracted. There you go. I like it. I think the internet kind of ruins it for me a little bit because I don't watch it live. So I have to watch it like the next day or so. And so by the time that happens, like, even if people don't say, hey, so-and-so died, you can go on any Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, and you see, like, 10 people you follow posting a picture of the same person back to back to back. Oh, remember when I met this person at the con, and, you know, blah, 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 and the pictures of the same, you know, actor, you kind of have a clue, like, oh, well, I guess this person died. You know what I mean? Like, even when people try not to be spoilerish, they're still spoiling it for you. And it's just like, there's so many people, so many assholes have to talk about it. It's just like, ugh, I kind of don't want to watch the show anymore. That's kind of where I'm at right now. Last week, nothing crazy happened, like too crazy. I think it was actually one of the better episodes because it just really pushed the story forward. But because no one, like, got off, I actually came into this episode not expecting anything. It was great.
Did you realize it was the first episode where no one was killed?
Yeah, because I didn't have it freaking spoiled for me.
Oh, so you heard that before you watched
it? Clearly, like, that's why I like some of the other shows. I mean, it sucks that they're not as popular because I think they're just as good. But it's kind of nice that they're not as popular because
less assholes
have to post about it. And then it's like, I get it. Maybe that character is one of your favorites. But, like, literally 20 of you guys, that must have been your favorite character or whatever, and you guys post the same picture. It's not your fault, but it is because it's the internet. So that's a lot of times I just don't go on my timeline anymore. I'm like, you know what? Game of Thrones happened. I'm off my timeline until I watch it. And that literally happens. And now I've learned I have to stay off of, like, all of it, not just Twitter, not just Facebook, but Instagram and all of it. So I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, like,
so, like,
what
that's my biggest gripe about Game of Thrones. It has nothing to do with the damn show. The damn show is fun.
Yeah,
it's the greatest show, but I enjoy it a lot.
That happens to me because, like, when it's on live, I'm at work, and then I have a break between my second job, so I'll come home and watch it a few hours later. But when I'm at my other job, when I'm on break, I'll just grab my phone and, you know, throw it on Facebook, and then a second later I'm going, God damn it. You know, I should have known better and stuff. But
And the thing is, I don't even read stuff. It's now, it's like, literally last time it was Instagram that ruined it for me, because 10 different people posted their picture from whichever con they met this person at, like, years ago or recently or whatever. I'm like, oh, okay, well, this is, you know, 10th time I've seen this guy in one night. I wonder what happened. So I'm just like, oh, again, one person didn't, you know, didn't realize that, oh, I'm going to post this picture of this guy because I got to meet him, and they don't realize that everyone else in the world is doing that. And then it ruins it for us. But again, at least it wasn't as bad as last season where someone tweeted me, and their name was RIP this character. They were tweeting me about wrestling, but they were like, RIP character name. And I'm like, oh, well, thank you. I hadn't watched that yet, but awesome. Now I know this person died. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, I like, a couple weeks ago, I was able to turn away before I got it spoiled, but I knew something bad happened. But luckily, it wasn't totally spoiled. And how did you enjoy the one from 2 weeks ago with Holdor? I actually started crying after that episode. I thought it was so sad.
See, I didn't. I was completely removed. I'm like, oh, well, that was. Uh-huh. I literally said, well, that's kind of stupid. That is so mad anyway. And I was like, whatever.
Uh-huh.
There's other characters, though, if something happened to them, that I would be severely upset. So, not, all right.
The thing
spoiler
that amazing.
Because, again, you didn't do a spoiler alert, by the way. You said his name without spoilering, and I never said his name. So, spoiler alert for Game of Thrones two episodes ago. My thing is, we hadn't seen this character barely at all. Like, at all. Like, you learn this person's true name, and then you have another episode off, and then the next episode, this character gets off. I wasn't connected to this person. And it's not that I didn't like them. I like this person. I have the thoughts of this person. I think this person is great. This character is great. But the way it was written, I wasn't emotionally attached because it's been so long and so few episodes in between. I just wasn't that attached. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Well, that sucked. Literally is what I said. Well, that sucked.
Well, the thing that got to me is
emotionally invested.
The thing that got to me is, like, yeah, he was such a minor character. And, like, I don't even think last season they came out very much except for maybe the last couple episodes. Never in my mind did I think that I would be affected by such a minor character dying. But just the way they did it for some reason, because usually when they kill somebody, the emotions I have are either I'm pissed off or I'm, fuck yeah, I'm glad they killed that bastard. But this was the first time where I was sad that they actually killed somebody, maybe since they killed Ned.
I mean, I can see that, because he was, I see that, but for me, again, he was the person that had 10 pictures on Instagram. Everyone was like, oh, remember that time I met this guy at con? Oh, okay, let me guess. Oh, you met him too. Oh, you like this person. Oh, that's a picture of him from the show. Okay, he must have died. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't even read their comments, but I'm like, okay, I know what happened. I'm not an idiot. And so, for me, I was already pissed off, so I'm like, okay, cool, you die, hurry up and do it. You know, like, and that probably, again, like I said, internet ruins Game of Thrones.
Like I say, every time I'd stupid, but just, I know better, but I just force a habit, grab my phone, and it's like, God damn.
Well, again, like I said, I wasn't even on Twitter or Facebook, because I stopped going on Twitter and Facebook the day, or even the day after that airs until I get to watch it. But I was on Instagram. I'm like, oh, well, people don't spoil shit on Instagram. Oh, I was wrong.
Yeah. So. I guess you live and learn. I think the show's been great. But we'll go ahead and wrap the show. I really wanted to just do an hour, but I appreciate you staying on a little longer. And I want to give you a chance to promote all your social media and everything that you have going on right now.
Okay, next week I'll be in New Jersey for the Flemington Punk Rock Flea Market Convention thing. But no, Punk Rock Flea Market Convention. I don't know if punk bands are actually going to be there. I hope so.
but it's in New Jersey, so make sure you check that out. I don't know, Sabu, I think it's going to be there too. I don't really know, but yeah, it's going to be great. Come say hi. It'll be a lot of fun. I am on Twitter and Instagram. It's Wrestling Leva. I have a Twitch, like we talked about earlier. It's Wrestling Leva on there. Come by, watch me play video games. I'm on there a lot. I've been going back and forth between Life is Strange and Mad Max. Whenever I'm not mad at Mad Max because of the races. But yeah, follow me on there. I have my own YouTube show called The Geek Soapbox. We're now a YouTube show and a podcast. So if you don't have time to sit and watch us, you can listen to us while you're in the car, while you're working out, while you're at work, while you're at your desk. We should have a second episode up soon for the podcast form. But it's also on YouTube form as well, so you get a little bit of best of both worlds. So definitely don't miss that. I mean, it's free, guys. Come on. And it's Geek Talk. What else am I doing? KFAB Commentaries Bombshells, where I interview my friends. So check those out. I think they're on DVD and demand. So go to KFAB Commentaries. I know they have a Twitter, and you can go to their website from there. What else am I doing? I think I plugged it all, haven't I? Well, I forgot anything. Just follow me on Twitter. That's where I plug everything.
Well, I'm hoping someone who I know is probably going to listen to this show books you in 3 weeks so you can make Shimmer, since I've already bought airfare and tickets to all three shows and stuff. So, Dave, book Leva on the show.
I am available for managing.
Right? Yes. That or spoiler. Or spoiler alert, they could have me turn on you and attack your ankle and then set up a feud for the next tapings.
So I can manage, and I'm walking without crutches, so I can totally do a run-in-ish. Yeah. It'll be more like a jog hobble-in, but I can totally do that.
Yeah, it's not a safe place.
No,
it's not like you have
to
run
too
far. I
am available for bookings, so certain bookings. Like I said, I have a couple of signings and con bookings coming up, so I'm pretty excited about that. So, yeah, I had a couple meet and greets not too long ago. So, yeah, I'm still available. I'm doing a lot of, like, geeky stuff recently. So yeah, just keep up with me online. And I'll give you guys all the 411 where I'll be.
Awesome. And, yeah, I follow you on Twitter and on Facebook, and you're one of the more entertaining people in the wrestling business to follow, so I highly recommend people following you on both of those. And, Leva, thank you so much for doing the show. I very much appreciate it, and hopefully we will get to talk to you soon.
All right, thanks a lot.
No problem. You have a good night.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, everybody, I'm just going to go ahead and wrap it up. So let me throw out my plugs real quick. Everyone check out angrymarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at angrymarks.com along with a lot of other shows. You can also download and stream our show at blogtalkradio.com/Cotrere and older shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo, and you can follow me on Twitter at Ed in San Antonio. And we should be back next week, and hopefully my other co-hosts will be able to make the show. They've been seem to be slacking a lot lately, but we'll see what happens next week. So we will talk to everybody then.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the man's shit. Let's go hook him up! Tonight.